Yeah, we're going to have a titanic time, eh, mate?
We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to episode 169, nice, of Born to be Wild, a wild exclusive Hearthstone podcast where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the wild format of Hearthstone and spotlighting members of the wild community. I'm your host, as always, Nate Wolf. It is great to be here on a beautiful Saturday evening. What? A little bit different than normal, but I'm very excited to be here tonight with some great friends, and we've got a super fun topic to talk about tonight. I'm super pumped for it, actually, because it's I went a little overboard, I think, and it'll be really fun. It's great to see you, friends, and yeah, Hydralisk, welcome back. How are you?
Saturday's all right for Friday. We are here on a and you know what, I didn't even use the freaking voice mod. We're here on,
you have
a
to
Saturday.
Redo it now.
No,
I'm
no,
joking, I'm it joking
did, it doesn't another even one. Matter another one. No, we're here on a Saturday. It's awesome. We have Nate Wolf, we've got Sheep, and we have an amazing special guest, and I'm super stoked. Sheep, how are you doing tonight?
Meowdy friend, I'm doing fantastic. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest, Tito. Yay! Santana. Welcome, Tito.
Ayo.
Why, hello there.
Welcome.
How's everybody doing? Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And I also appreciate you pushing out a day so I can be on. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great to have you here. So, yeah, can you, I for people who may not be familiar with you, can you share a little bit about yourself? I mean, I know you are a fellow Hearthstone player, fellow podcaster, so if you can tell us a little bit about your foray into Hearthstone and podcasting, and as much or as little as you would like to share, that'd be super awesome.
Sure. I've been playing Hearthstone for quite a bit. I'm an older gentleman like some of yourselves, a little older. I think I could be somebody's father here, but that's neither here nor there. I enjoy Hearthstone quite a bit. It's been something I've been playing for a long, long time. And just recently, about a year ago, I was diagnosed with ADHD as an adult. And it was one of those things I always suspected, it was always joked about. But I was able to, like, you know, talk to doctors and then get some medication and really kind of, you know, start working on things. So what the very first thing I did when I started on medication was say, hey, I'm going to start doing streaming. I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to start creating content and add many more things to my plate that weren't already there. And just to test my limits, I suppose. So I've been doing this for about a year now. I'm coming up on my streamiversary, as it says. But I've been, you know, it's been a blast. It's been an experience. It's been a lot of ups, a lot of downs. We have a lot of things we've done. Oh, I started a podcast too. I'm not sure if I said that. I know you mentioned it. Mm-hmm. I am a host of the Bread and Butter podcast, which is a Hearthstone podcast less focused on the news and more focused on trying to improve your game and understand the game a little better. So we usually have topics like dealing with tilt, dealing with how to build decks, how to you know, esports, battlegrounds, primers, like anything that's hopefully going to be a little evergreen and help you become a better player. And I thought that was a voice that wasn't out there in general. So we were trying to do that. And I joined Team Hype Horizon. I'm a happy member of Team Hype Horizon. So hype everybody out there. And yeah, that's about it about me.
When I first saw your name, I was like, Tito, I know this. Wait, I grew up in the 80s. I've seen WWF.
The World Wildlife this. Federation.
That's that. Yeah, Federation. That ages us, right? Before we were watching before it was WWE.
Yeah, right. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was watching when we believed wrestling wasn't fake. But not that it's right? fake. It's storytelling.
It was real.
Storytelling. But so way back in the day, it's kind of timely because Baldur's Gate 3 just came out, but I used to play games like Baldur's Gate, and my username a lot of times was Tito Santana for my character. And not only was that, we used to change the sounds, like you could change the waves, like you used to be able to do on Windows. So anytime my characters, they were all homework quotes, like, I am so smart, S-M-A-R-T, and all those. So we changed all the Baldur's Gate sounds for my character to be that. But Tito Santana was my name for that, and it carried forward into other games. My second, all my WoW characters, I've been playing WoW since Vanilla, all my WoW character names are Tito Santana, Earthquake, Coco Beware,
Earthquake
stuff like that.
And Rick Typhoon! Flair.
Yep. So
Earthquake and Typhoon were like the best tag team ever. I'm saying
they were big guys, but I kept that name throughout pretty much the entirety of my career, and it's how people knew me on in all the Discords and everything. So when I started doing the streaming about a year ago, I thought about changing my name, and I looked at rebranding and saying, okay, what would it be? I'm a grandpa now, so let's find a name that goes along with that. And every single name, like Gaming Grandpa, Grandpa Gamer, whatever, they were all squatted on by people that never used them. So I looked for a little while, and I tried to find the new name, and I said, you know what? Tito's fine. Now, it's very confusing because I'm a 48-year-old white guy, and Tito is not the name usually associated with a 48-year-old white guy. So I get a lot of invites inside the games. It, like, a lot of times people add me as friends and they start talking to me in Portuguese or Spanish. And I'm like, sorry, English. I apologize. But so I thought that's another reason why I thought of rebranding. And if I ever did anything substantial, if I ever like had a viral video or something, which hasn't happened yet, I don't want the real Tito Santana to get upset. So that's why I've kind of even not gone with a theme of wrestling in real. We do fight nights, but that's a whole different thing. I didn't want to go there because I didn't want anyone to be like, why are you imitating Tito Santana? So I stuck with it, but maybe I should have. But that's anyway, that's the
I think it's long version of my name. I think it's fine because, like, if someone was like, "Hey, Hydralisk, are you actually a Zerg?" Yeah, no.
No, but if you look up, like, okay, he's lying
to you. Don't believe his lies.
I have the same regrets because I used my real name as my like handle for ages, and then regretted it later. And it's like it's too late to change it, right? It's the same thing everywhere, and everyone knows me. Like, it just I can't change it now. But if you Google my name, like, it's not me that pops up. It's the guy from the Naked Brothers Band and some scientist and whatever else. And so it's like, well, you know, okay. So like how many Tito Santanas are there? Like there will be the wrestler, but like there's going to be more, right? And like, I don't think you deal with like a name copyright issue or anything like that. So.
Yeah, but you scroll down far enough and I guess you'll see someone else.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. Yeah, I know. Baldur's Gate, dude. So I heard that the new Baldur's Gate just came out and people are talking about it. I used to play Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance because it reminded me of Diablo because it was like the isometric.
Yes.
I love those. Like I played Dark Alliance 1 and 2 on the Xbox PS2? Of all things. Yeah, or I think it was Xbox or maybe it was PS2. It was one of those. And I really liked them actually. But is the new one, like, is it the same style or is it different? The new Baldur's Gate?
I don't know that any of us have actually played it yet. So I really want to, but
I haven't played it yet. But so if you're talking about the Baldur's Gate, like 1 and 2 that we played, like on PlayStation or Xbox, that was hack and slash.
Yeah.
This is turn-based strategy, like Final Fantasy and whatnot. It's still super good. I am one of those, like, so Nate, I can see it on Nate's face. We're Diablo lovers, right? Run around and we love to smash crap left and right. And then it's like, oh, I don't want to decide what I'm going to do. No, we just push buttons, right? So
I thought that I was not going to play any seasonal content. And here I just hit level 50 on the, or 51 maybe on the season pass for Diablo 4. And like, it's pretty good. I skipped the main storyline because I had already done it. It gives you the option, and like, it's cool,
there's
man.
No reason not to skip it. Yeah, once
I didn't at first, and I jammed through a couple of like the first act, and then I was like, "Why am I doing this? Like, forget it." I mean, it's worth it maybe for like drops, but you get better ones at the end of the game anyways. So like,
were you allowed to skip it after you already chose to do it?
Yes, you can. I was worried about that because I chose not to. And then I started playing. Then I had to Google it. Like, can I skip it after I already decided not to skip it? And I figured out how to do it. And so it's and like Lee Acer helped me as well.
So Nate and I are going to have a Diablo podcast on another time, but back to Hearthstone.
Yeah, sorry.
Speaking of Hearthstone, Tito, how long have you been playing Hearthstone?
You said since vanilla, well, actually, right?
Since you guys seem okay with tangents, I just wanted, before yes. we get there, I wanted to know, you guys, we were talking about early Baldur's Gate and early games. Did you guys ever play the old Gold Box games, Pool of Radiance, Curse of the Azure Bonds, and all those? Because that's where I got started.
No. Can you explain what you just
Did you say Golden Axe? Back
in, no. Oh, it was around the same time though. Okay. So the Golden Box games, Pool of Radiance, those were games that were like Dungeons and Dragons games that were the rules of Dungeons and Dragons. And they were, I mean, I played them on the Commodore 64, and they were these classic games that kind of was the beginning of a lot of the genres we play today. And they were just fantastic. And there used to be a level on Pool of Radiance where you actually got to fight the Mole Master. I think it's Mole Master Beholder Corps, and it was just like these armies of like beholders and minotaurs and all that stuff. And it was real Dungeons and Dragons rules. And like you had to sleep for like a month in order for your wizard to regain all their spells and all that stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
Oh, but that's so cool. You see, like my problem is back when I grew up, NES was my main console, right? And if I was playing Final Fantasy, I'd rather be Mario and jump on some like mushroom heads. You know? like I was a kid, right? Like I didn't have the brain capacity to decide I'm going to be a wizard or I'm going to be a sorceress or I'm going to do this, a warrior or whatever. Like I want to jump on mushroom heads. So I wish that maybe I was there at that point in time, but no, like it not for me at that point in time. No.
But to answer Sheik's question, I started playing right as I got into the open beta. I never got into the closed beta. I wanted to badly. I was trying. I submitted myself, and I was listening to The Angry Chicken when it started before, just getting as much information as I could because they were all into it. And as soon as it dropped, I was hooked. I've been playing since the very beginning.
I love The Angry Chicken. Such a good show.
I'd pour one out it. For them, but I'm in my office, and then I'd have to clean it up. So
I will pour out this Pringles can will be poured out for The Angry Chicken.
Yeah, no, good times, good show.
Poured out some chapstick. So I know you've been playing since open beta, and you said that you'd been listening to The Angry Chicken like since the very beginning. But what actually brought you to even trying Hearthstone in the first place?
So I played a lot of Magic. In fact, I had an alpha deck that I sold, which at the time I thought I sold for a lot of money, which was like $300. And it turns out I probably could have had, you know, thousands of dollars.
You say add a zero to that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I played.
No.
Yeah. I played in high school and I carried through, I believe, Ice Age. Even when I was deployed to Bosnia, I was competing in tournaments at the MWR tents and stuff and had a blast. Got away from Magic for a while, came back. I can't even tell you what sets I came back for, and I started going to Friday Night Magic, and it's just, I'm playing with the, you know, kids half my age, and just like, no. So I ended up, it's just, you know, it's fun, fine enough, but when the people you're playing against are waiting for their mom to pick them up, it's like, well, no, I'd rather be, you know, out drinking somewhere and you know, at a bar doing this or whatever, but we didn't have that much where I am, so.
And that's why you have Hearthstone.
Yeah, and so I played, I've played Warcraft since Vanilla 2, and when they said, hey, we're releasing a card game that's kind of like Magic, but kind of not, and it's Hearthstone, it's Warcraft themed, I was all in.
And did you play like Warcraft like 1 and 2?
I did not play Warcraft 1, 2, or 3. I started with World of Warcraft. In fact, when I came, so I was deployed in 04. I went over to Bosnia, and it's not Bosnia, I'm sorry, 04, I went to Iraq. and I came back and I had this job, and every like I saw people playing EverQuest when like in on these like super slow connections over there in the tents, and I came back and I was working at a language learning software company, and I was running a quality assurance lab, and the kids in my lab were like, "Hey, you need to play Warcraft." And I was like, "All right, sure." So I picked it up and I started playing, and I joined the guild, and I outlasted all of them. And I ran a guild, pretty much a raiding guild, from Burning Crusade up until I still run a raiding guild, but we've kind of taken a hiatus over the last few months. I kind of stepped back because I just got kind of burnt out finally after, I don't know, 20 years, however long it's been. And I was focused more on playing Hearthstone and content and all that. And it was not enough time for everything. So I just, it was stressing me out where I was not performing well with my role as DPS. And it was just a stressful night, and I'd rather be doing other things at that point. So I just finally had to say, I'm going to take a break, and you know, it is what it is. But it's been a long run. I love my guildies, and yeah. So that's how I started with Hearthstone, really.
Nice.
Fantastic. So you also mentioned, of course, that you have your own Hearthstone podcast. Tell us a little bit about Bread and Butter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Bread and Butter is a podcast. We've been doing it for about a year now. We had a couple, you know, times where we took a week or two off, so we're not at 52 episodes. I think we're closer to 40. We just had Electric Sheep Shitty City on 2 weeks ago. Sorry about that.
Holy! So I, you know what? Don't say sorry. Somebody clip Electric Sheep Shitty, because that is so funny.
Also, it's it's not the first time, and it's not the last that somebody's done that. Don't worry about it.
There's no Freud behind that, because I think Sheep is like one of the most fantastic people I've ever met.
The opposite of shitty.
Right, he is the opposite. So it's a tongue twister.
I'm sorry,
sometimes.
Future Nate.
but it was so. He's looking at me like, great, now I have to go. I only said it once, though.
I know. It's fun. It was pretty funny.
But so I host the Bread and Butter podcast with Doc McButt. And like I said, we've been trying to do a different approach and be kind of educational. And in fact, 2 days ago, or about 2 or 3 days ago, Deck Tech mentioned Coin Conceit and Bread and Butter. It's like, if you listen to Coin Conceit and Bread and Butter as educational podcasts, then you should go do this thing and listen to this other podcast about magic. And to just even be included in the same kind of conversation. And for what we're intending, where it's like, hey, we're trying to be educational, we're trying to be something to help people learn. That felt really nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, it's like this level of validation, right? To hear people say that. It's so cool. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm looking forward to the next year. I will tell you, episode three, we had Andrew is living on, and from there it just felt like natural to come. We kind of became a guest podcast, and having a guest on every week and having a new educational topic every week is hard. And yeah, I'm starting to get to the point where I'm like, well, what are we going to do next? So I don't know if we're going to morph the show a little bit or whatever, but so far we've managed to have everybody as a guest. This week we're doing something a little different, and we're going to have Doc McButt's twin brother on, who doesn't play Hearthstone. So I think he's supposed to be trying to learn a little bit of Hearthstone and everything. So it'll be fun.
I'm very curious as to what Doc McButt's twin butt looks like.
Twin butter?
Well, I plan on calling him Brother Butt on the show. So we'll see how that
Brother
goes.
Butt. Brother Butt. Hilarious.
I have no words.
So now when people aren't listening to you on Bread and Butter, where else around the internet can they find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Tito Santana HS. I stream 3 or 4 nights a week, sometimes more, because here's the thing. I should be only streaming 3 nights a week and actually putting time in to making some other content. In fact, I have this other content I'm working on right now that I am So you know Blister Guy. He was on your show a couple weeks ago. I'm sure you're familiar with him.
Oh, yeah.
His podcast does this thing, and he talked about it on your show. Yes, I listened. He was talking about how a side effect of his podcast was because he describes his games in detail, that becomes good content for the visually impaired. Because as streamers and people doing it, we rely on a lot of visuals. And we say, oh, okay, I'm going to make this play right there. You saw what I mulliganed, so I might say, I'm going to throw these two back. I'm going to keep this card. For someone that can't see, or maybe someone that's not looking at the screen, that's not useful.
Right.
That's yeah. Okay. But so I'm starting to try to work into some content where I will take, I'm already streaming Hearthstone. So I'm going to take some of my games and actually verbally go through them and really kind of work on announcing everything and talking through it. And then turning that into content, because that's what we call low effort content in the biz, where it's like, I'm already doing something. All I'm doing is adding a little bit to what I'm doing and hopefully getting something out of it. And I think it's worthwhile. I think that is a unsaturated part of our market. And that's where you got to find a way in, is find something people aren't doing. And I'm very excited about it. But yeah, so I stream a lot, but a lot of times I want to go edit something. I want to go, hey, work on this new short or something like that. And then I say, you know what? I just want to kick some Hearthstone games in. So I just fire up the stream and I just play Hearthstone.
Nice.
So you can find me there.
Way back in the day, there was a Hearthstone podcast called Hearth Coach, and it was Frid and Dan, and the goal of it was like, Dan was like, maybe this was even before Wild, I don't remember, it was a long time ago, but the goal was to like, let's get Dan to Legend. And so sometimes it was just them two, sometimes they'd have a guest on, but the goal was to like, hey, this week I'm going to teach you how to play this deck, and we're going to jam some games with it on ladder. And we're going to teach you how to play it, and we're going to just try to get you to Legend with it. And they wouldn't like, I mean, it was like an hour long or whatever, but they would play through games and they talk through all the plays. And one of the things that I always thought was kind of amazing is like playing Hearthstone games and talking through them on a podcast, like you said, is very different than doing it live on Twitch when people are like watching the gameplay. And so they kind of got good at like describing like, okay, this is the state of the board. This is what's in your hand. This is what my opponent just played. These are my cards. This is what I'm going to play, and here's why I'm going to play it. And it was like, at the time, like I'd sit here at work and listen to it while I was doing stuff, and I could visualize it because they're describing everything really well. So, and I agree with you. And then when they stopped doing that podcast, like I can't think of another like content creator that does that. Aside from Blister Guy, right, who plays his games well, you know, on the walk to work. But I agree with you that it's a relatively unsaturated market. I do like listening to Blister Guy, and I don't know how in the world he manages to keep his cool when winning, losing, whatever. And I actually learned from him. I didn't get a chance to say it because I missed that show, but the idea of like respect your opponent. Like I got that from Ray, because I'd get so mad, like, oh, they got lucky. Oh, that, you know, oh, I can't believe it. They just had the nuts that game. But the idea of like, hey, you know what? Sometimes you got the nuts. Sometimes they got the nuts. Sometimes like you got to respect your opponent. Otherwise you.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Ray has the magic background. Right. So he knows. Right. He's not walking into this as a noob or anything. No, like he knows what he's talking about. And Nate, you're totally right. Like he has the greatest attitude when you watch or listen to him walk to work. And when he loses a game, he's like, oh, well, that's fine. Well, I'll talk to you in 2 days. No big deal. Like, it's like not, it's nothing.
He's such a good person for it because I couldn't do it. Like I just don't have I'd get not happy.
See, but it's easier I don't really struggle with tilt because like I play predominantly aggro decks, so like it's more of a numbers game than it is anything else. So it's just like, oh, lost that one. That took 2 minutes. Cool, let's start another one.
But you also gotta remember that Ray is like 11 star all the time. Like he is a good player, so the losses aren't going to really matter that much to him because he's always up there. And how do you know someone's 11 stars? Don't worry, they'll tell you.
He
does slip back to 10 sometimes, but yeah,
and he tells us that too. To be completely fair, Ray, absolutely.
Mr. Mustache over here, he used to be 11 stars.
Oh, man. Going from 11 down to 10 really hurt.
It does. Is that not like the worst thing? So it, I have not. Annoying. I've never been. Full disclosure, internet, I'm a 10 star player. If I ever got 11, I couldn't go back. I quit. Sorry, game over.
It's really hard to go back. It you know, it's really interesting. I mean, essentially, from my experience, is like 11 stars. Like, you sail to legend, but you're playing against higher caliber players, and so,
which is what you want.
It is. I mean, it makes you a better player, but I think it's also like the matches can be more difficult. And so when I dropped down to 10, like, I was frustrated, but the matches were, I don't know how to say this without being like rude, but like the matches were easier. Like, they were noticeably easier because I was playing against opponents who were at a different skill level than the 11x that I had been playing in for. I think
he was,
I was
versing me.
Get good, noob. No, I mean
you hear,
that's funny.
You hear a lot of content creators, though, a lot of the content creators say that, hey, your 11 stars isn't that easy. It's you because you play a lot of content the higher. But I'll tell you what, no, I was 11 stars once, and that climb was amazing. And it felt so good, and it is so worth it. And it is, maybe you do have a few tougher games, but it's still so much easier to complete that climb. It's like when your mom lets you lick the bowl after she makes a bowl of brownies. So
I will say the climb from diamond five to legend was great, because the bonus stars, like, it's worth it. If you can,
you
do
got
it,
to have your cake and eat it too, right?
Yeah, I feel like, too, with 11 stars, you're almost more incentivized to just, like, camp on your rank than you are to actually play.
You are.
Which is why, you know, I've had 11 stars in all of the formats except for Classic, and I've lost them. I mean, I haven't lost the Twist one yet, but, like, we'll see. I've lost them because, like, I just like playing games, and I'd rather play games than, like, keep the multiplier. And then, of course, like, right now, we'll get to it later when we're talking about our weeks, but, like, I'm climbing in, like, diamond with even warrior. Like, I'm not playing, like, the meta stuff. Sometimes I do. I mean, y'all know me, but sometimes I'm not, because that's just kind of what I want to do. But it's like actually engaging with the game, and you're kind of more incentivized to continue playing whenever you have that 10 stars. 'Cause, like, you're not worried about losing anything at that point.
Oh, I'll tell you what, camping, like, kind of ruined the game for me. Cause, like, yeah, I mean, you jam to legend in the first, like, couple of days or the first weekend of the month, and then just not play for the rest of the month so that you can keep your rank. Like, it was not.
That's sort of like how I treated EU for, like, the longest time. And I don't think it's
a really healthy way to play the game personally. Yeah. Having done it for a long time, I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, it's great if you are someone that can, like, do the 11 and then climb with it. Like, heck yeah. I felt like incentivized to camp, and I don't know. It's felt kind of weird.
Once you become an 11 star player, then you're not thinking about it. And, like, you see, like, the people out there that just get there, and it's just part of their process, and they get to legend and they come in at 75 and great, and they just keep playing because that's their standard. For those of us that have made it once, maybe twice or whatever, and you want to get there again, I wouldn't do, if I get there, like, again in the first month or the first week of a month, or I'm not going to stop playing. I'm going to keep playing. The only time I might camp is if I'm on the borderline and it's about to be the next season, and, like, well, you know, it looks like I can make it if I just don't play tonight. That otherwise, I'm just going to keep playing, because actually some of the advice I've gotten from people like Ridiculous Hat is keep playing. Just keep playing. Like, you want to become a player that belongs at 11 stars? Play at 11 stars. Like, do it. And that's how you get there. And it's true.
That's such Yoda advice. Do or do not. There is no try.
On the last day of the month, last month in July, I was inside of 1K in standard on the final day, but I ended that day at 3K. So like, I know that I played myself out of 11X, but I had fun doing it. I just wanted to keep playing.
But if I can bring us back to the, I know I took us down this tangent with the joke about Ray, but with the 11 stars, and that was a joke because Ray's awesome. But the whole talking thing versus not talking thing about through your plays is kind of like the color sports game and the play-by-play announcer. Like you have Tommy Heinsohn and Mike Gorman as the Celtics. And Gorman talks through all the plays. It's like, so you can listen to it on the radio and you can have a mind picture. Like Johnny Most would be like, you know, Bird passes to McHale over to Parrish. Parrish gives it out to Ainge for three. It's good. Like you can understand it.
McHale, you really are aging yourself here.
Oh, that's fine. And then you get like Tommy Heinsohn's like, oh, bull call. Like there's no way he followed him there. And it was always home bias and all that. So like, you know, that's what the color is what you get for most streamers. Right. And you don't get the play by play. So I've done a few recordings. I've only got one recording out so far because of other, like I've been told, hey, we need the game sound and other things. So I'm working on it, but that's what Blister Guy does is hard. Like to remember to, hey, talk through your mulligan, talk through your plays. What are my lines here? And that's not the whole reason I got into streaming was because I was, you know, I'm a social person. I am an extrovert, and COVID kind of killed like bowling and going out Friday night drinks and whatever like that. So there was a hole where I needed that. And
where do you live? I'll go bowling.
I live in New England, up in New Hampshire. But besides that, it was just I wanted to talk through my plays because how many times do you like have a turn? You draw a card, you go click click boom, and you're like, wait, maybe I should have done something else. And I still do that.
It definitely makes you a better player for sure. To like
plays a little bit more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you can go through your thought process, like.
But now when I talk through these plays, it helps me to do that. And now I'm a little bit better at that, saying, oh, what can I do here? What can I do there? What can I do? Like, okay, by the way, my opponent's here. Let's check lethal. All that. So all that stuff becomes sort of better. I do that more often now. Not always, but more often.
Nice.
Yeah, buddy.
Nice.
So, for those of you joining us for the first time, if I can speak.
And for the fourth time.
And that's more than two. Welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how this show works. We record this very podcast live mostly on Friday evenings at twitch.tv/borntowewildhs. And the video version of this podcast is then posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all of the podcast apps. So however you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today, thank you. Yes.
You.
Big giant thank you to everybody who's joining us live, especially. Really appreciate you all hanging out and donating your Saturday evening to us. Thank you to all the people watching on YouTube, listening on all the podcast apps and everything. Really appreciate you. Big shout out to Shokunin, the executive producer of our show, and to Armorn and to our other patrons. We really appreciate y'all's support. And if you're interested in supporting the show, there's a couple ways that you can do it. If you like, comment, subscribe to our stuff on YouTube. If you want to leave any reviews on the podcast apps, it always helps. And if you're interested in interacting with us, we do have a website. It's borntobewildhs.com. All of our back episodes, they're all listed on there with links to the show notes, links to the YouTube. We've got a separate section for the lore episodes. So if you want to know the stories behind the cards, we've got separate episodes with our very own lore master, Goliath the Dwarf, where we go over the stories behind the cards. Those are all separated. We do have some merch and stuff if you're interested in getting Born to Be Wild, like shirts and tank tops and whatever else we got on there. The artwork's super cool. Haven't made any in a little while, but have to jump back on that. But anyways, lastly, if you're interested in hanging out with any of us, we do have a Discord channel. It's a free online community of friends we've made all across the world, and it's really cool. We share jokes and memes, deck lists, and news, and everything. And a lot of times that's where I kind of like, if I'm looking for a new deck list, that's where I go. If I'm looking for, hey, what happened over this past week? That's where I look. It's really cool. Very active. And it's a very wholesome place. No drama. And we enjoy it. So anyways, yeah. As is tradition, let me look back at our... Oh.
There is a lot of them because I haven't posted them in quite a while. I realized that I had some from whenever the Lamb and I were in the NICU that I just never posted because, like, yeah, that was December. So
wow.
There are quite a few of them.
Somebody took a giant dump in our... I'll go through a few of them. Let's see. Yeah, you got a lot. Okay. Yeah. So this this episode is dedicated to Awesome Daddy.
That's me.
Cute Girl.
That's me.
That's also me.
F Society. That's great. That's a Mr. Robot.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. To That One Guy. To Made in China, Lucky Lamb, I like that. Please Pwn Me, XT, that's pretty funny. Yeah, there's a lot more. Booty Time.
Booty Time is probably my favorite.
Who the Heck? Shrek?
That's me, Booty Time.
That's the forthcoming rebrand.
Christmas, okay. Snoopy. Peepee Cleaner. Wow. Okay. Death I'm Knight to Death that... Knight. Okay. Arm the Lorax. Wow. Death Star. That's pretty funny. Fight Milk. That's something. Fee-fi fo-fo.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. 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 I missed that one. Gummy Bear. Let's see. Oh my gosh. I can't read all of these. Rainbow Sheep. That's pretty fun. Oh, look at it. It's Squisgar. Hey, I understood that reference. Oh gosh. Wow. There's just too many, but wow.
This episode is dedicated to K Sera Sera.
K Sera Sera.
I like, there are a couple. I did a big shout out to Dyrus Bear for posting some hot cross puns. That's pretty funny. And and Goliath the Dwarf, Cash Money. I love that.
It was a very Cash Money submission.
It was. Oh, man. All right. Well, before we get into the meat of the show, we usually briefly talk about our weeks, and I grew a mustache this week.
So that was, you know what, that's pretty good.
I mean,
oh, I well, you already told us why, otherwise I was going to have to mustache you what inspired it, but now I know.
Oh no.
Have you
Nobody
seen?
Nobody told me I was going to be on the podcast with adult film star Nate Wolf.
Oh no, my whole family, my mom's side of the family, everyone, all the men in the whole family, they all have like just the mustache, like no beard, no goatee or whatever, like just the mustache. And my mom's like, we went camping, and I just like, I've been clean shaven for the last year or so, and I went camping. I was like, I'm not bringing my shaving stuff, forget that. And so I came back with the beard, and my mom, I was like, it's all hot here, and I wanted to shave it. My mom's like, oh, you should keep the mustache, you look like one of the family. I was like, oh, okay. And I it feels really weird, but it also is kind of silly, so here I am. How long will it stay? I don't know, but
I don't think it actually looks horrible.
That's almost a compliment. I'll take it.
Like,
you gotta get some wax and grow it out with the little twirls.
It
no, yeah. it'll get bushy
very quickly. I mean, just give it another week so. And
hold on, Hydra is gonna give a definition of who's allowed a mustache and who's not. Basically, if you look like James Hetfield, you're allowed to have a mustache, and that is Nate Wolf. So, like, I feel like you're man enough to, like, have this stash, and I think you're rocking him pretty good.
Oh, thanks. I'm it's very Tom Selleck look. I appreciate it. What I never understood, like, so I'm having the time of my life. My son and I started watching the Marvel movies, and like from the very beginning, for the first time for him.
And, oh yeah,
which is
all the way back.
It's so funny. I had to explain to him, right? Like, you don't. I was like, look, you don't understand. When I was a kid, we had Batman, and like Tim Burton's Batman was like the best superhero movie of all time, because like Superman was cool, but it was like kind of cheesy. And they get progressively cheesier like throughout the sequels. So the Batman ones got really cheesy throughout the sequels. And like they just, it was like, oh, that's fun, I'm going to watch it. But it wasn't like good, it was just fun. And then when Iron Man came out, it was like, oh, wait a minute here. Like, this is amazing. This is the best superhero movie that they've ever done. And then they start teasing like the Avengers initiative, and then you watch the Hulk and realize that they're connected in the same universe. Like this stuff is unfolding as we watch it. And yeah, cause he's coming in like years and years later. And he's like, oh yeah, there's like 50 Marvel movies. And I was like, that stuff didn't exist. Like I got to watch them all come out one at a time and interconnect. Like, this is crazy. It's groundbreaking. Like, you have no idea. And he was like, oh, that's so cool. So it's been really fun to watch. Anyways, I went down a rabbit hole, but when I see someone, so like
it was worth exploring.
Robert Downey Jr. Yes, when you see somebody who's got the style of like mustache or goatee where it's like that pencil line, I don't understand how they do that. Like, if I wanted to do that, I'd have to like get a beard trimmer or a shaver and like shave the top part and like shave the part above my lip and just like leave a little line. Which seems so strange to me. Like, I can't fathom it. And so mine's just going to be like a big walrus. Cause like, it just grows on my whole face.
I am the Eggman.
Pikachu.
Yeah. Anyways.
Now, did you start with Iron Man or did you start with the Incredible Hulk?
We did Iron Man. No. We did Iron Man and then Hulk and then Iron Man 2.
Okay.
And then we're going to watch Thor tonight, actually. So we're doing, if it's interesting, because if you go on like Disney Plus or whatever, they have them in order of like chronological order. But
so like Captain America's first on that one, because that took place way back when.
Yeah, but and then they have Captain Marvel in like a weird spot. But like my preference would be to watch them in the order of release, because I feel like really like that's kind of the intended order. Because, like, then you see them as they come out, and, like, then the crossover stuff makes more sense. Because if I watch Captain Marvel, like, super early into the series, like, who is that? How does that, who are these people? Like, it's not quite, I don't know. I like it better.
Definitely watch them in order.
Yeah.
In the order they came released is the best.
Yeah, I prefer that to the Disney, like, chronological order. I like the release date order better. So that's what we're doing. We're going to skip over the Netflix stuff because it's all, like, mature. And
yeah.
He's 11, like 11 and a half. And they're like, he's really enjoying it. But they're like, thank God there's some things that are like going over his head. Because there's some things. I don't think that they're super like inappropriate. But they're also not like super kid friendly. But I think
some of the stuff in Iron Man 2 gets a little racy.
It does. And he's such a terrible role model, right?
Yeah.
At least in the early ones, and I think that they get better. But like even in the comic books, like he struggled with alcoholism like super bad for a long time. And
who?
Tony Stark, Iron Man.
Oh,
yeah, it was like a big thing. Anyways, that's been my week. I didn't mean to go down a rabbit hole. By the way, sorry. Last thing. My new favorite podcast. It's called That Was Pretty Scary. It's with Freddie Prinze Jr. And he goes through, it's like they do horror movie reviews with him and his buddy, who's like a movie director. But I love it because, well, it's great, but they don't call it going down rabbit holes. He calls it going on side quests, which is so funny. Right?
That's amazing. Right.
Right.
Diablo 4.
Right. Perfect. He's like, oh, sorry. Side quest.
So, yo, that's so good. That's so good.
It's really funny. Anyways, Hydra, how was your week?
So I did a weird thing. I don't play standard, but this week I did play standard and way too much. Like,
good for
way
you.
Too much. I've never played this much standard since it was just called Hearthstone. So in 1 week, I played over 100 games.
Wow, dude.
Yeah. It's kind of gross, actually. So I don't remember how many bonus stars I had when I started, but
like,
I am
like
at
three. Yeah, it's like when we were playing Classic at that time.
Right? Like it's the same thing. So I did is I was playing the DK deck with Helya. And if we're going to go into real life, the only reason I really love Helya is because the flavor text is about doing a kickflip. And nice. I can do a kickflip. So I've played this card to death at this point. I have played over 100 games. I don't know if Sheep has my stats up.
I have it up. 61% win rate. Yeah, 62-40.
Yeah, 62-40. And it was better. I actually it was more like 60-35 before the show, but I lost a lot, unfortunately. But look at the matchup spread though. Like every single class is represented. It's actually super cool to see all of that. It's not like, oh, like remember when we were doing the climbing classic when it's like all warlock or like whatever, like this is everything. So it's super cool. And yeah, I mean, that's how it's going. I have not played wild yet, to be honest. Sheep and I played a couple like wild matches, but that was about it. I am focusing on standard currently.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man. That's a really great win rate. Good job.
Yeah, it is.
Trying.
I also have been playing a lot of standard. So earlier this week, I think it was like Monday morning, I hit legend in standard. As is tradition, in the bathtub. So stats don't have a ton of those.
Tito's face there was great.
So did it predominantly with Treant Druid because Treants are awesome. And you know me, if there's an aggro druid that's like even somewhat viable, like I'm gonna jam it. And so that's what I did. The deck itself caps out at 3, and you're like, Sheep, that deck list
at tree.
So if you look at the picture of the deck list, it seems like it goes up to 8 because cultivation is there, but cultivation costs 1 less for every tree that you have played. So that's never 8. And then there's also Blood Treant, which says it costs 5, and it does, but it costs 5 health, not mana. So, of note, though, if you see any of those from aquatic form, that they are representative of 5 and 8. So if you don't have that amount of mana, don't pick those because you won't be able to draw them. But in wild, I've actually been climbing. I went from D5 to D like 2 and then back down to 3, and I'm back up to 2 now, I think. With Even Warrior, which is a lot of fun. I actually slid Jessicar Trueheart into my list and ended up...
You champion. I love it.
Jessicar in gold.
Yeah, so can you explain that? Because like you showed me that you crafted Jessicar Trueheart in gold. And I remember disenchanting... just go to your in cold. So I really want to know why you did the thing and why I'm in the wrong for doing that like 4 or 5 years ago. But just tell me, please.
Oh, okay, so Jessicar Trueheart upgrades your hero power, right? Like, so your hero power in the early game, you're just like armoring out of range of the aggro bot rogues, and in the late game, you hopefully have played your Odin, and you want your hero power to give you 4 damage to go to the face and 4 armor instead of 2. That's why you do that thing. And you can't play an odd deck with Odin in it, so therefore you have to play Justicar in order to get that value.
I mean, I don't know if you can convince me.
No, it's not like something super meta or something that I would like recommend that other people do, but it's what I'm doing.
Don't you just run a golden Genner Baku and you're all set there? You don't even need the Justicar?
Well, but when you play Justicar, then your hero power upgrades and then it is no longer golden. But also, if Justicar is golden, then I have the golden coin. So
he likes golden.
I like gold.
Jerry. Basically, gold. The answer is gold.
Insert whale noises here.
This is the way. So it's a really fun deck. It does pretty dang well into like even shaman and pirate rogue. So like seeing a lot of those.
Yeah. We were talking before the show started and you were finishing up a game and you were like, oh no, they got the thing. It's too bad I have 53 armor. It was like,
yeah, right.
Yeah, there was no way that they were going to get through that one. Beat, you know, like a secret mage and an aggro rogue and an even shaman, and the deck just, you know, doesn't
die.
This
is how we do it.
Right, carried you. Sweet.
Yeah, buddy. So that's most of what I've been doing this week. In non-Hearthstone related news, Only Murders in the Building is back, and one of the dudes is producing a play. This is like at the very beginning of the season, so it's not like a spoiler or anything. The play is called Death Rattle, which I thought was pretty cool.
Nice.
Tito, how's your week been, my dude?
All right, before we get to that, can I just say I feel a little called out? Uh-oh. Hydralisk was just like, I played 100 games. I can't believe I played that many games in a week. Yeah. So I looked.
I played 1,500 games this week.
My thought was, okay, 100 games, that's a lot. Kind of like when Blister Guy says, oh, you recorded 200 podcasts. Really? That's what we're celebrating? Really? So I looked at what I've done for the month. And I have played, what is today's date? Today's date is
the 12th.
So we're... I have played 292 games this month, and that probably is a slow month. So I was like, well, but have I played good games? That is another thing. I am in the classic first month of an expansion, what I like to call the accordion, where I kind of fluctuate from D5 to D2 to D4 to D1 to D3 to D2. And I was doing super well with Relic DH, and then I hit a losing streak that was like 8 or 9 games, and I wasn't tilted. I know people like Kat will say, hey, even if you don't feel tilted, there's something going on, you probably should step away. I was just jamming games. I honestly was just jamming games while I was listening to things on a meeting that I had to listen to, and I was absorbing, but I wasn't participating on. No, I mean, I was in a meeting I had to pay attention to, but I wasn't like actively participating. So I have, you know, I have 3 monitors for a reason. And I was, you know, just, you know, trying to climb, and I hit that super losing streak, but, it's been a struggle bus, but I'm trying to climb. I've been playing all kinds of things. But I try to stick with the same thing. So I've been trying to stick with mostly Relic DH, but I've also played, I haven't played much Death Knight. I've played a lot of the mech rogue early on, and I climbed a lot with that. I played some of the paladin, the pure paladin, the dude pure paladin, which is a lot of fun. I played a lot of hunter, and you know, I'm 42 and 37 with hunter this month. 15 and 11 with paladin. Other things, not so much. I'm 33 and 39 with the DH. Overall, I'm 137 and 155 for the month. So that explains why I've been kind of struggling. I'll get there. It's the thing now where it's like, I know I'll get there. I just got to put the time in, but I still feel a little called out. It's like, I played 100 games. And I'm like, really? I feel like, I think I play Hearthstone a little too much.
Well, I mean, it's situational, right? Like, I have played over 100 games in the last, it's the 12th. 100 games in 12 days. Like, for me, that's a lot, right? So, like, it's situational.
And I also stream, and it's also part of, I try to make content. So it's part of what my hobbies are. So I'm not a person trying to make a living off of any of the content I do. It's fun. I'm a hobbyist, as they say, at least as of right now. I am not going to replace my job. People that try to do that are insane, and it's a lot of work, and they deserve lots of respect. But, you know, it is what it is. And I'm enjoying the meta. Like, I don't feel okay. Spell shaman can die in a fire. They can bury it. I would say they need to nuke it from orbit because that's the only way to be sure. And
what that deck does.
Tito, right. Tito, can you do me a favor? Can you take your right hand, raise it up, and then smack it into mine? Because F that deck.
In the words of Guff, high five.
And I don't begrudge anybody that plays it because they're not playing Control Priest. I begrudge the Control Priest. But outside of that, the deck is fun. It looks fun. I'm probably going to play it. I'm probably going to have a blast playing it. But when I was on a roll, I was on one of my rolls where I'm climbing. I was at like D2, 2 stars. And then I hit 2 shamans in a row that turn 6. Pew, 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 boom. When I had a good board, I had good cards in hand. I had 30 health and 4 armor, and I was good. And then it just, nothing I could do. Fun and interactive Hearthstone, as they say. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a complicated deck. It just sucks when it happens. 2 games to you in a row to kill any momentum you had. I'm sure they'll do something about it soon. But, yeah. I usually don't get salty about decks. Like, Blood DK has kind of pushed me close. But the worst one was Quest Mage. Because everyone complained about Quest Mage back in the day. Back in the Storm, the Quest Line Mage. And I should clarify, I'm mostly a standard player. I do play Wild. We'll talk. I should probably mention that. Sheep gave me a Mech Paladin that I've played the crap out of. But I tried to be positive because I'm like, you know, Quest Line Mage is fine. You can beat it. There are ways to beat it. And then I was trying to stay the line and be positive, and I try to be a positive force in the community. I don't always succeed, but I try to be. And then I had this game where I had a board of like 7 minions or 6 minions. I had 30 plus health. The mage I was playing had like 4 health, no cards in hand. And they beat me that turn.
Yep.
And I was just like, all right, F this deck. And I sent that replay, and Ridiculous Hat and the Coin Concede Discord, they were all like, yeah, I can see why you're salty.
Yep. The Nature Shaman can kind of do that too. I can understand feeling salty about those losses as well, truthfully.
Yeah.
Your druid's getting there too, though. I mean, the Drumline Druid can get there in a hurry too. So, like, you're like, hey, you have a board. Oh, hey, look, all of a sudden there's a bunch of 6/12s staring down at me. Okay. That was a fun game.
My Treant Druid never played Drum Circle because I killed my opponent before turn 7. So,
yeah. Yeah. I like the fast games.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind a good long game. In fact, one thing I try to do is especially if I lose, if I play an interesting long, now I'm not talking about a long game where I should have quit because that Control Priest is eventually just going to out resource me. And I know that, but sometimes you play a long game where it's like, you got a back and a forth and it's, oh, I made a good choice. And oh, hey, they drew something and it was cool. And it did this thing and it goes along. If I lose those games, I try to add the person afterwards because they're probably going to think I'm going to go tell them to like pound sand. But I try to be like, hey, that was an awesome game. Like, I thought I had you here and then you did this cool thing. And I try to like change the momentum of people adding people to be like, hey, I had a positive, even though I lost, or maybe if I won, I had a positive experience. And if I add someone, if I won, I'd be like, I really thought you had me here. And then, you know, I got a little lucky here and all that, and try to build up those positive relationships. So that way, you know, people maybe are a little more willing to add and they're not like being threatened with, you know, whatever these salty people say. So try to do that once in a while, especially on those long games, as long as they're interesting. But the worst is, when you play a long game where you're like, I had a great game, this was fun, I know I'm losing, and then that very last play, they start bad-mannering you, and you're just like, oh, come on. We just had this good game. We just had this classic battle.
Greetings.
Why do you got to do that?
Greetings. Greetings.
That's my worst. That's incredible. That's my biggest pet peeve. Like, when it's not, no bad manners the entire game, and then the very end, just like, I wanted to add you and be friends, but nope, forget it.
No.
That's when you go from friends to fiends.
Yes.
I picked that up from Wicked Good.
No. We can't do that.
Oh, dear. Well, it looks like we have some...
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
All right, Hydra, what do we got?
I mean, like, you expect that I know. No, it's funny. Hold on. Let me scroll up.
It's all right. I didn't have the images in for some reason anyways, so... I'll do that while you look at the show notes.
Well, no, like there's some news.
We do have a couple. It looks like a couple balance changes. So,
do you have those?
They're in the show notes. I'm gonna have to edit this or not.
I only know the cool news.
All right. Sheep, can you take us through the news, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So on Tuesday, there were a couple of balance changes. They predominantly affected standard. But, you know, we can get some dust here.
I've seen this card enough in Wild as well. So
Worse Ice Block got even worse, and we take that. So Solid Alibi got nerfed from 2 mana to 3 mana. It is, of course, now 3 mana frost spell that until the end of your turn, your hero can only take 1 damage at a time. So no longer costs 2, and that is a fantastic balance change, in my opinion.
Good riddance. Yes,
I have a question. Uh-huh. Why didn't this cost 3 in the start?
I do not have a good answer for that.
Like, don't they all cost 3? Oh, yeah, Tito.
Because it's not a secret. Because it's not actually a secret. It's okay, just an effect. You play it that turn, and then it has that effect until your next turn.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Does this make Odd Mage better?
No one's ever playing Odd Mage. That's the problem.
The Odd Mage was a fun meme deck, but like, if you're gonna play Odd Mage, it's probably like Odd, like Ping Mage or like Hero Power Mage or whatever you want to call it. And I don't think we were playing that anyways. So I don't think so. I think it's fine.
Yeah. And if you were wanting to play this kind of effect, you'd probably actually play Ice Block instead, because Solid Alibi is simultaneously a lot more skill testing, in that you have to play it when you're otherwise going to die. Whereas with Ice Block, you can just play it whenever you have the extra mana to float to do it, and then you won't die. Period. So,
yeah.
Well, every time you see a card nerfed and they add a mana to it or whatever, I always hear the, well, does this make X deck even a Rod deck better now?
That's a really good question, especially in Wild. Yeah, because... No, yeah, we ask those all the time, right? It's like, oh, it's odd now. Oh, it's even now. Oh, we could put it in. Yeah. So that's a really valid point, I think.
Most definitely. And I think lately, even decks have definitely been the ones that have been shining a little bit more. That's not historically the case. Odd Rogue was a thing for a long time. And there's a card here that unfortunately won't really make Odd Rogue better. But Lab Constructor was nerfed from 4 mana to 5. It is, of course, a 5 mana now. 3/2 mech that reads, at the end of your turn, summon a copy of this. And if you forge it, then it gains magnetic. So, of course, the next level strats for playing Lab Constructor is to not worry about forging it, and you play a spark bot on it that gives it stealth, and then you can just continue to get out of control from there. The reason why this nerf to 5 does not make Odd Rogue better is that the spark bot generator spell is 2 mana. So that's why Odd Rogue is not really bolstered by this.
I have a comment.
Yes.
Odd Rogue doesn't play 5 mana cards unless they're losing.
Also very correct. Though cutting class is 5 mana. You're just never paying 5 mana for it.
Tito's got his hand up.
Counterpoint, this might open up the odd mech rogue archetype, which is yet to be explored.
Not, ooh.
Yeah, because Mimi is 3 mana. Yeah, I can see it. Nemeron.
Somebody do it.
All right, well, Tito, mech rogue, it's been time-stamped here. It's called Tito Mech Rogue. Do it before anybody else does it.
Do it now.
I'm putting down a note to myself. I will try to make this deck happen, and I will submit it to Born to Be Wild, held for a...
the approval. Tito Raytar.
Oh, God. I love it.
Absolutely. So those were the balance changes. Standard is different now. And I, you know, Wild was marginally affected with Solid Alibi. Not going to say that it's no effect because it definitely was. Yes. Un poco. Marginal effect.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a fun topic to talk about tonight. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, we do.
I missed the original tweet, which I'm surprised that I did, but can someone like summarize? Because I missed it. I'm all in for this because this is like the most fun I've had all week. But Sheep or whoever else can chime in. But what happened here?
So for a hot second, cherished Hearthstone community figure, Ben Hearthstone, thought that we were getting a Hearthstone movie.
If only.
There's a very big like promotion for Heart of Stone going on right now. And totally understand like the of is small and it's Heart to Stone. And the of kind of looks like the crossbar of an H. Super easy mistake to make.
If only we knew somebody that knew how to do Photoshop.
If only. Well, it's got me thinking. If there was going to be a Hearthstone movie, what would it be about and who would be cast in it? Like, this just opened up a lot of really interesting possibilities. And I started to reply to Ben's tweet. I was like, oh, starring. And then I was like, wait a minute. We can actually talk about this because I think this is a really interesting like rabbit hole to dive into.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah. All right. So tonight we're going to be casting. Well, we're going to be making our own Hearthstone movie, right? I mean, essentially is like, what movie would you make? Who would be in it? What's the plot like?
Okay. I need to interrupt. I need to say there's no one else, unless anybody can tell me, Craig Ferguson needs to be Hearthstone Rogue. like, hello, my name is Hearthstone Rogue. Like, can anybody else do that?
Blister Guy can do it pretty good, actually.
Better than Craig Ferguson?
Well, I mean...
done it, time it.
I mean,
what about the dad from the show that's on HBO? The one with it's the business one where they're billionaires or something like that, and they have the he's always swearing at the kids.
Oh, Succession, yeah.
Succession, the dad there.
Yeah, I can see that. So I was thinking we'd kind of go around and say what our different ones are, because I feel like Hearthstone, the movie, can go in a number of different directions, right? Like who you're casting is kind of dependent on which Hearthstone story you're telling. So, so because of that, I think, you know, having each person kind of go into their plot and then their fan casting for the Hearthstone movie would kind of be the best kind of roundtable discussion there.
All right. I like it.
Take the lead. Go.
Okay. So I have Jessica Trueheart on the mind, right? So my plot is the League of Evil is trying to steal Justicar's true heart. And it's up to the League of Explorers to stop them. So I also have Hearthstone Brew as the narrator. I fan casted Ron Perlman as Hearthstone Brew. You know, he'd have to get a dialect coach to be able to do it effectively. But I feel like he could probably have the chops. Gwendolyn Christie is who I have being Justicar Trueheart. Reno Jackson. I mentioned last week that I've been watching a lot of Lego Masters lately. Will Arnett is who I have cast as Reno Jackson.
I love it. Okay.
That's kind of perfect.
Right? Isn't it though? Like personality, the way that he can deliver stuff is just on point for Reno. Bran Bronzebeard. I have Simon Pegg being Bran Bronzebeard. I think that would be really fun.
Simon Pegg?
Yeah.
Wait, I don't know who... Let me Google that super quick. Like, I feel like I should know, but hold on.
Yeah, Nate, you got red on you.
I got what?
You got red on you. It's a Simon Pegg joke.
Oh. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. Yes. Okay. Yeah. My bad. All right.
That's Simon Pegg.
That's hilarious. Okay.
Sir Finley Murgleton. I have Andy Serkis. So Andy Serkis did the voice and the motion capture for Gollum, for example, and Lord of the Rings. he was in the Marvel films as well. Oh gosh, I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he was one of the bad guys in.
I think
in
he
Black
played.
Panther.
Oh yeah, he was the
arms dealer.
The one yeah. without the arm. Who's the
Well, yeah, the unarmed arms dealer.
I'll find it. Hold on.
Yeah.
He's in a few movies, too. Ultron cuts off his arm.
He's been Spoiler. In a lot. He's been in a lot.
He's
could be the perfect Sir Finley.
Ulysses Claw. Yeah.
Claw. Yeah, that's yeah. it. So, Elise Starseeker. I went a couple different ways with this one before settling with Felicity Jones as my Elise Starseeker. I feel like that was a pretty good one. But here's where things get really good. Archvillain Rafam. We're going into the League of Evil. You know, the ones who are trying to steal Justicar's true heart. So Archvillain Rafam is Tom Hiddleston, Loki.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, can I pitch something to you?
Okay.
The guy that does Dr. Doofenshmirtz from
Interesting. Interesting. I actually did not hear all of that, but
I don't know Marvel, so
that's not Marvel.
No, from
that's the Phineas cartoon.
And Ferb
cartoon. Yeah.
Hey, what do you want to do today?
Oh, that guy. I can see it. I can totally see it.
That's
I'm going to stick with for mine, Tom Hiddleston, though. I feel like that would be pretty on point. Heist Baron Togwaggle. I have Christian Bale. So he always like super commits to whatever like body changes, like for like, the machinist, he like became skeletally thin.
His diet consisted of apples and cigarettes, I think, was for like 6 months. Yeah, he almost died.
Machinist.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The movie? Yeah. Not your job.
Used to be my job.
Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, he would commit really hard.
It would be like Brandon Fraser in The Whale. He'd like do that.
Yeah.
He'd like buzz his head and he'd like put a candle on it.
He would somehow find a way to grow a candle out of his head. Candle. If anyone could, Christian Bale could.
I believe it.
And right after filming The Machinist, he started bulking up to play Batman, and Batman Begins, I think, was the timeline for that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like swole Batman, like
less than
a year later. It was wild.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Swamp Queen Agatha. I went with Tilda Swinton. I feel like she's got the acting chops to make it work. Madame Lazul, I went with Scarlett Johansson.
I don't see it. I don't see that one. I've tried. I went in a very different direction than you. This is fun because I did the same idea, different direction. Okay, I like it. Uh-huh. I like it. Okay.
And finally, Blastmaster Boom, Chris Hemsworth.
What? Okay.
I feel like he's like got the comedic timing down now. Like he can actually do, you know, like he wants to blow something up and he's just like going all for it. And yeah,
you know what? I thought
it'd be fun.
I was telling my kid last night, right? Cause we started watching these Marvel movies and they start out like kind of somewhere in between like action, like serious, but comedy. And in like the phase one and the phase two, they get like really serious. And then after all the Infinity War stuff, like the movies are all just, they're like comedies, like Thor and mm-hmm. Ant-Man, like they're just straight up comedies at that point. And it's so funny to watch the progression, but I showed him that clip of Thor where he on like Battle Planet meets the Hulk and, oh, I know him, is my friend from work. Like, it was so funny. Like,
well, and Chris Hemsworth has range too. Like he can do like, not just like dumb jock Thor. So I can see him doing like,
we know each other. He's a friend from work.
Yeah. I can see him doing like, you know, the kind of like, Blastmaster Boom style too. Also pretty interesting. Loki, you know, what's his name? Wow. I literally just
Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
As the good guy, Sir Finley, and Chris Hemsworth as Blastmaster Boom.
I could kind of
like
that.
Switching the roles.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
So that's my plot and fan casting for my Hearthstone movie. Tito, what is your plot and casting for your movie?
Okay, well, I went a completely different direction. So I went the story of Team 5. And I didn't go... So I haven't seen the movie yet, but I kind of went the same direction as the mockumentary that of the Weird Al story, where it was like a documentary, but it was a mockumentary.
It's so good.
So I'll give you the plot, and then I'll give you the actors that I picked. And the actors don't necessarily match up, but it is what it is. All right. So Ben Brode and Yang Wu are interns that are working in the basement, and their job is to like sort through and get rid of old merch, where they come across a bunch of Hearthstone cards, the Hearthstone, the Warcraft game, the old Warcraft TCCG game. And they come up with an idea, you know, they're getting high down in the basement, and they figure it out, and they start making this game that they're playing. And Celestalon comes down, and he finds them, and he's like, wow, this is an awesome idea. So they bring it to Bobby K up in his office, and he's distracted. K! Hold on. He's distracted.
CEO of the year, by the way.
And he's like, yeah, whatever. That sounds great. So they go with it, right? And so they start working on this thing. Now,
Bobby K.
So the running, there's a running joke here throughout the entire movie. Bobby K has no idea what Hearthstone is. So every time it comes up to him, he just has no idea.
Jerk.
Okay. No, no, no. We get to that. Don't worry about it. So the other thing is, so there's been a lot of things that have happened in Blizzard that has been not good over the last few years. And I don't want to, like, given that we're doing a story of Team 5, but I don't want that to be a focus. So kind of like a running, not gag because it's serious, but throughout the entire movie, we see little bits of things that people are getting their comeuppance. Like, you know, people like you'll see someone walk by in the newspaper, like, this person arrested for blah, blah, blah. So we acknowledge the things that have happened, but the people are actually getting punished for them. And like you hear a radio, it's like, oh, blah, 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 this guy's been arrested for blah, 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 kind of in the background. So you get all that kind of like Easter egg stuff. So, yeah. So that stuff gets acknowledged, but it's not a part of the story. So then we get into the third act, right? So we get through this thing, Hearthstone becomes a thing, it rises, whatever. And then in the third act, Ben Brode makes a video about grilled cheese, and it blows up, and he becomes super famous. And then he starts going down the bad path. There's drugs, womanizing. He's not fired, but he's kind of like asked to leave Blizzard, and he takes a file with him called Oh Snap Hearthstone 2. We'll get back to that. So then in the end, so like we get to towards the end, and we like Ben Brode's like and them, they form Snap as not a competitor but a different thing, and then Cora becomes game director, but she changes her name to Ben legally. So that's basically the plot of the story. Now, there are two mid-credit scenes. You know how you get those credit scenes like in the Marvel at the end of the thing? So there's one where we see Bobby K at his house and he's burning documents. And then we zoom out and we see a huge FBI raid about to raid his house. And that's that because of that. And then we go to the final, like the very last one, and we see the person playing Ridiculous Hat in the movie. He's going up into an attic. And the attic's all kind of like old and dusty. And we see him open this old and dusty chest. We see him pull out a studio microphone.
Love it.
Oh my right. God. I'd watch that movie.
Yeah. Right?
So Ben Brode, Seth Rogen, obviously. Cora, Selena Gomez. I mean, I know ethnicity is not matched, but I stopped worrying about that.
It doesn't matter.
I think Cora is a fantastic singer. We want someone that can sing. And I think Selena Gomez would be a perfect cast there. Gallen, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Alkali, Scarlett Johansson. Okay, this is a big budget. Ridiculous Hat, Daniel Radcliffe.
That's Yang actually Wu, pretty Randall close.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of perfect. Yang Wu, Randall Park. I think he's kind of perfect. Bobby K, Danny DeVito. Like, full on, full Danny DeVito.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
Ben Lee, I originally was thinking Ricky Gervais, but apparently he's not a great guy anymore, so we're going with Pedro Pascal. Ishgar is Keanu Reeves. Ishgar, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
And Celestalon will be played by Celestalon.
That's so meta. I love it.
And that's my idea for the movie. I don't know who's next, but I think
you already ruined the movie because you made the movie perfect. Like, what else? I have one thing to add. Okay. One. And that is Seth Rogen is Reno Jackson. And instead of Reno Jackson... No, sorry. Leroy Jenkins. He's like, Leroy... Jenkins.
If you look at Ben Brode and Seth Rogen, I've always, like, since we've known Ben Brode, I'm like, Seth Rogen would play in the movie. But you say that, I ruined it. I remember this one thing I did. I had an English class, right? It was in advanced English in college. It was one of those classes everyone has to take as a freshman. And we had an assignment where we had to do a story to music. And I had to drive back and forth from college. I went to UMass Amherst. Back to home and back and forth, which was a 2-hour drive, and I was going home for National Guard drill. And there's this little bit of music in Fiddler on the Roof where they're doing the bottle dance on their head.
Yeah.
It's like that, So I had that in my head. So I wrote a story in my head for this, along to the music, where it like it changed as the music was going and all that, and it was perfect. It was great. And I came back, and everyone else kind of used music for the mood and stuff like that. And I was the first one called, and I did this story where it was like perfectly timed to the music. It was about like a robbery and a bazaar, and like right when like he's enjoying the sights and sounds, the music shifts, and I'm like, all right, now we're gonna, you know, start the thing, and then all the music starts picking up, and it's like a chase. And I finished that, and everyone just looked at me like, you're kidding me. Like you just ruined it. So apologies, but I like my movie. I think we could make that.
Perfect. It's amazing.
Yet another one of those incredible people who has the range to play terrible people. I love that. Danny DeVito playing Bobby K. That's great.
That's really funny.
I guess the only other thing I had to add was everybody hates when you draw patches, right? So it would be so funny when you drew patches if he said, could I be any more of a pirate? And that would drive me crazy.
Oh, God. All right. Yeah. Hyder, what's your movie? You've got you got some characters over here.
Well, okay. Do you guys know Craig Ferguson?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was a late night star. Drew Carey. He was Drew's boss. Like, best guy ever. Right. And so what I thought was really funny is, so I picked Zephyrs. And everybody knows that Zephyrs is one of the most like difficult balance cards ever. But who is the coolest genie ever? That is Robin freaking Williams, right? In Aladdin. Right? So like, why would you not be Robin Williams for Zephyrs? So like,
oh, that's locked. Good. That's good.
And so okay, then next, so like Robin Williams is there, you know. He's like, yeah, what's up? What's going on? And then it's like, holy crap, Ragnar Rose is here? Oh my God. And he's like, I'm Ice Cube. I'm effer named Ice Cube, by the way. Well, like, I can't say the words, but so the idea here is that Ice Cube is the best person to be Ragnaros, because Ragnaros is a fire elemental, right?
Mm-hmm. It's irony.
Is it? All right. So yeah. And then I got the Leroy Jenkins. I think I said that before. It's like Leroy Jenkins. And then I got Liam Neeson being Mysterious Challenger, who's like, oh my, none of your business.
I will find you. And it's none of your business. Stop asking questions.
I will find your business. I will play some secrets. Probably three of them. They all cost one mana. And then you will probably die. Get down!
He has a particular set of skills, but they're secret.
Oh, God.
And then, you know, I just had patches at the end because I love patches. And that was the worst part of being a aggro main is drawing patches. And I just thought it'd be super funny if you drew patches, if he said, could I be a better pirate? And then I would not be happy.
That's funny. All right. That's good. We got a comedy over here.
Yeah, buddy. And now the one I.
All right. All right.
No offense to the rest of us, myself included. The one I'm most excited to hear, because I know Nate has gone above and beyond. I can't wait to hear your movie.
I reinstated my Midjourney account just for this, because I canceled it like yesterday, literally. And then I saw this and I was like, oh, all right. I'm more of a visual person. I thought, okay, we're going to cast a movie. Like, I want to see what these actors would look like as in their roles as these. And so what else to lean on but my little AI art buddy over here. And so, okay, so here's my movie pitch. It's Hearthstone, the League of Explorers. And so think, have you ever seen Red with Bruce Willis, Retired Extremely Dangerous?
Yeah.
Yes? Yeah. No?
Yes.
It's good. Yes. Sheep, have you not seen it?
No.
It's good. It's good. So it's called...
Was this made by Kevin Smith?
I will check.
I think it's made by Kevin Smith.
It's a 2010 movie starring Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman, and Helen Mirren. Here's the IMDb. When his peaceful life is threatened by a high-tech assassin, former Black Ops agent Frank Moses reassembles his old team in a last-ditch effort to survive and uncover his assailants. So the idea, right, is these guys were like government agent assassin, like people in their prime, and they're all retired, and now they're like getting the band back together, and they're old, older, right? And so it's the same idea, right? So here's my pitch. The League of Explorers must reassemble after many years of retirement to face off against their old foes, the League of Evil. So think of like a Red style movie, right? We're getting the band back together. So it's a League of Explorers, but they're like a little bit past their prime. Like they're still good, but they're rusty, right? All right. So here's my Reno Jackson. Reno Jackson, Tom Selleck. Okay. And I apologize for you audio listeners. I got art up on the screen and I'm not going to be able to describe it very well, but this is my like Indiana Jones as like, except it's Tom Selleck. And
it's Tom Selleck Reno. That is a very good explanation of what's on screen for sure.
Right.
I mean, we have come full circle into why Nate's been growing a mustache. Because yes, he's going to take this role in place of Tom Selleck because he is now a younger Tom Selleck.
All right. All right.
And he's going to be rich.
I hope so. Okay. Okay. Well, next up is Bran Bronzebeard. Okay. And so I was thinking like, well, who could do that? And I went right to John Rhys Davies, who played Gimli in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Ooh, yeah.
So here we have... John Rhys Davies as Bran Bronzebeard, minus the hat. I should have got him like a safari hat, but like not bad, right? Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Bonus points if you have a line where he Reno Jackson asks, "Would you consider dying with a friend?"
Yes.
I had a really difficult time getting. I could not get the AI art generator to do purple skin. It just would not do it. I tried and tried and tried and I was running out of time. So I like this one's off a little bit, but here we have Elise Starseeker as Famke Janssen. Okay. This is like, she played Jean Grey in the X-Men. She was in like Lord of Illusions from way back when she was in like Hemlock Grove. So she's a little bit older, right? But still like killing it. So think purple skin, right? But like she could play the role because she has that, like she can do that British accent. She can do that poise. Thought, all right. This is like the worst AI art one because it just would not. I must have run this like a dozen times and it just would not give me what I was looking for.
Well, looking at her, if you wanted to put a name to like really sell the film, like Angelina Jolie could fill in that role.
I actually ran that one through. And I like this one better. It was so funny because it gave it with like the
giant like Angelina Lush.
But I thought of that one. And the other one I thought like when I saw the pictures come up, I was like, oh, maybe Terry Hatcher. Like, nah. But Angelina Jolie could do it.
Monica B, whatever her name is, from the Firefly and Z, what's her name? She was in Homeland. She was in Firefly. She was
Monica Bellucci. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. She's been in a lot of things. Yeah, I think so.
From like, she was in the Matrix movie and Brotherhood of the Wolf.
No, not her. Not her.
Okay. I don't know. I struggle with this one, but I like Famke Janssen because she can do the accent too. Like, because you know Lisa's so proper, right? Like, she could pull this role off real easy, I think. Anyways, let me just move on. All right, so next up we've got the last one, like Sir Finley Murgleton, and I went actually straight to where you did Sheep, Andy Serkis.
Nice.
And I was thinking because he did Gollum, I was like, well, how do you do Sir Finley Murgleton? And the two that I came up with was Andy Serkis, and then I thought about Ray Parks. Because he's done everything, right? He can do all the martial arts and stuff. Like Ray Parks was Snake Eyes in the G.I. Joe movie. Ray Parks did Darth Maul. And but like this is kind of fun. Like this is a pretty fun AI generated. Like this one was kind of hard. It didn't want to do like a human, like it doesn't know what a Murloc is. Trying to make it like human lizard frog mashup, and it was kind of fun, right?
The bottom right looks like a Geico commercial.
Right? Okay, and then my villains. I've got my villains here for the League of Evil. So arch villain Rafam, I have as Richard Roxburgh. If you don't know who that is, like, what did he do? He was the main villain in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I love that movie so much.
Like, what else did he do? I'm gonna pull up IMDb.
So, you mean James Bond?
Yeah, I think so, actually. Yeah, what else did he do?
Like, Sean Connery's the lead in that movie, right?
No, yeah, he was the bad guy. He played Moriarty.
Okay.
All right. He was in Van Helsing. A bunch of movies that I don't recognize. He was in The Crown. Anyways. But I loved the... I tried to make it, like, wrap him up in, like mummy threads, and it just wouldn't, I couldn't get it to do it. And I was trying to go as fast as I could, but like, you could totally see it right in the, like the kind of explorer outfit with the, like the cape and the purple, like turban. It's so funny. Anyways. All right. So my Archville and Rafam, King Togwaggle, Rowan Atkinson. All right. Mr. Bean. All right. Here's my AI pictures of Mr.
Wait,
Bean.
Wait, who's Mr. Bean?
Rowan Atkinson is the actor who played Mr.
Bean. No, I know.
Togwaggle.
Togwaggle. He,
oh my gosh. Mr. Bean is Togwaggle.
I'll show you when we're done recording. I'll show you. I'll blow up the pictures and I'll show you in Discord.
You mean Mr. Waggle.
There's more Holy pictures crap. that I have that I didn't post here that are kind of funny. But I thought he'd be fun, right? Because he's weird and funny and like kind of off-putting sometimes, right? Okay, I like the casting for this. Madame Lazul, this was like easy peasy. Angela Bassett from Black Panther. She was in American Horror Story. Like, she'd be amazing. It wouldn't give me like snakes as hair, and it left out the boa constrictor. But like... Oh, and it gave her an extra hand in one of these pictures. That's how you can tell it's AI. Bottom left, she's got three hands.
Oh, what? Yeah, she does. That's so weird.
But she'd be amazing, right? Like, if you ever watch American Horror Story, especially the Coven one, like, and she does voodoo, like, she's amazing. She's such a great actress. So I've got, Angela Bassett as Madame Lazul. For Swamp Queen Agatha, Roseanne Barr. That's right.
Oh. Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
This is not the picture I had in mind. There was, because like she actually, she looks, she lost a lot of weight. And
she did.
I wanted to get like someone who was like, formidable as like a sorceress, right? And I was like, who but like swamp, right? Like out in the swamp, and it's kind of like I was like, oh, she could do it, like she's tough, right? I thought that'd be fun. And then my last one, I'm proud of this one. So Dr. Boom, Gilbert Godfrey. Right? Oh. Can you just hear the voice? Like,
oh my gosh.
He wouldn't even have to try.
No, he would not.
So there you go. That's my casting. Dr. Boom is Gilbert Godfrey.
but what's the plot of the story?
Wait, sorry, what?
What's the plot of the story?
Just that they're League Explorers pulled out of retirement to face off against their old foes, League of Evil, to save the world or whatever.
The Red style, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I wanted to get them when they were like a little bit older, right? So they're like a little older, a little bit rusty, but they got to put the band back together type of thing. So there you go.
They got to do a little bit more than that with Guilford. I'm sorry.
Guilford, you can listen to Howard Stern and get your Guilford in if you really need to.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Apparently he used to do really cool cameos. Like he would really get into it, and like someone would say, you gotta say happy birthday to this guy, they're a fan, and he would just go on for like hours or something. He would just it would be like engaging and fun and not just the same old boilerplate that some people do.
Well, that's weird.
That's cool.
Anyway, Nate, that was awesome. I have fun. I love fun that with you this. Made those pictures. That's super cool. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'll show you afterwards the all the ones that didn't make it because they're bad and good at the same time. Anyways, thank you for humoring me though. This was entertaining and I enjoyed it quite a bit. You just think what I could do if I had like a lot of time. Oh my god. Anyways.
Oh, Nate, you have all the ideas.
Well, is it about that time?
Yeah.
If I can find the button.
It's about that time.
And now, unrelated advice. With Nate Wolf.
Yep.
Tito. Well, we have this amazing guest named Tito Sanchez, but most people actually don't know who that real WWF wrestler is, because this is like a throwback and like nobody knows. So what I want to know is who would win in a cage match, Mankind or Undertaker? Go now.
Okay. It would be Roddy Piper. Because he came to do two things. Oh, no, but this wrestling, it's wrestling. You don't need to have, he just needs to appear and then win. Okay.
He'd like come in from the sidelines, right? Like,
all right. Let's let Tito explain why Rowdy Piper beats Mankind and Undertaker in a cage match. Go, Tito, go.
Okay, so we're all familiar with the fact, I would assume that everyone's familiar with the fact that Mankind and Undertaker did participate in probably one of the most gruesome matches of all time, where there was a faulty issue with the top of the cage, and Mankind went through a lot earlier than expected and almost died, got off the gurney to finish the match, and got thrown off again through a table, like they were supposed to plan, and put his body through all kinds of different torture. And it was one of the most incredible performances and most iconic performances in wrestling history. But what always people love in wrestling is a run-in. And while he may not have been currently active at the time of this, Roddy Piper is one of the most iconic wrestlers of all time. And he would have been the person to take advantage of such an event with the maybe a money in the bank briefcase and watching an almost dead Mankind sprawled on the floor. The Undertaker up top there, not being able to do anything, comes in, money in the bank, 1, 2, 3, new world champion. That's it.
I like your answer. It's like the Hearthstone answer to World of Warcraft.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Wiser words were never spoken. And you heard that on
Bore to Beep. Wild.
Wild.